How will you know what to do next once you make that leap? You're listening to Raise the Anchor with your host, Melissa Burbridge, where we take you through life-changing decisions and dig deeper into those decisions to see how they affected the people that made them. Today's guest will definitely help us know what to do. Please welcome to the show, Jen Warrington. Today's guest has been doing recruitment for over 10 years. Now she owns her own business where she helps employers find the proper employee, and she puts the proper employee in the right job. She also helps them figure out the exact right job they want to do. Welcome to the show, Jen Warrington. Welcome to the show, Jen.
Thank you.
So let our listeners know what you did before owning your own company.
Sure. So I have been a recruiter for almost the last 15 years, but had a sales background before that and lived in Toronto previously for a couple of years working for a financial advisor. But when I moved back home in 2006, started in the recruitment field working for a staffing agency. So my passion for recruitment and careers started in that space, which was essentially a sales role at the time, and then moved into the natural progression of learning how to do the recruitment piece of things. So it's been quite a journey.
And what do you do now with your own company?
So I have two pillars in my business. One is around career coaching, or I call it career designing, and really working with individuals who are trying to figure out what it is that they want to do as a career, or at a transition point or a change, that you know that something's coming. So working with them to uncover that, as well as resumes, cover letters, LinkedIn profiles, prepping individuals for interviews, to help them feel more confident as they're going in, because they're selling themselves, and that's not always an easy thing to do. So I really have a lot of focus on the career coaching piece, especially in the time that we're in with COVID and lots of changes happening. So that's been a big piece of the business. And the other side of it is recruiting for companies that might have a need, primarily focusing on the small to medium-sized businesses, because usually the larger companies have a team in place, which is what I had done for the last 10 to 15 years. But really working with small to medium-sized businesses to help them understand, you know, what they need and what the right candidate looks like that's going to fit with them, and then helping them go to market and find that talent.
Awesome. That sounds like a lot.
It is in some ways, but in other ways, I don't know. It's something that I really love. So I just flow through it.
So what made you position from working for corporate to working on your own, doing similar things?
So if you had asked me this question a year ago, I would have said that I probably wouldn't have transitioned onto my own. Like, it was always something I wanted to do, and I knew that I always wanted to have my own business. I didn't know what that was going to look like. And probably over the last 20 years, I've had a million ideas and a bunch of different notebooks of something that I could do. But I was very comfortable in my 9-to-5. I was almost 10 years with a financial services organization where I did recruitment and loved it. And they went through a global restructure on the HR side of things. And I was one of those individuals impacted. And once I don't want to say the shock, but it was a bit of a shock. I wasn't really expecting it. Once that wore off, about an hour after the phone call that I received, I said, like, I'm not working for someone else. I'm going to do it this time, knowing that I had a small buffer in terms of a severance, as well as, you know, not wanting to hit the market in the middle of COVID to try to find something else. And I said, okay, I'm going to come up with a plan. And what is it that I love to do? And this is where I landed. So it's something I've always wanted to do. I didn't know what that exactly was going to be. And that little nudge out of my 9-to-5 is what sparked it. And it's the best thing that could have ever happened.
Yeah, it sounds like a blessing, because you're such a powerhouse at what you do, that it's kind of a blessing, even though we don't want to see ourselves in a pandemic or restructured out of our current job. It's kind of a blessing because you're helping so many other people be able to get to do what you're doing.
And I was doing it in my 9-to-5 role. Like, I would prepare candidates, like, okay, you're going into an interview. These are the types of questions that are going to be asked. You know, I would tweak a resume before I would submit it to a hiring manager to make sure that the skills that I knew someone had were going to be highlighted. And this has just allowed me to take it to a different level. And it's allowed me to really put my own spin on it in terms of what I know is going to work, because I didn't follow a traditional path of, you know, go to university, get a degree, fall in the field that I'm going to be in and do that for X amount of years, you know, in that piece. So it was really important for me to bring my story through that, so people felt confident with me. And I think what I want to tag on to the end of that is I'm 4 months in to my business. And while there was that fear when I had my 9-to-5 job of, you know, I'm not going to ever leave, I'll just figure something out, I am leaps and bounds ahead on every single possible level in those 4 months. Like, you just need to take this step. So whether it is a career change or going completely on your own and starting a business, you really just, it's incredible when you have a plan in place.
Yeah, it really is incredible once that plan is in place. And because I think a lot of people's biggest fear is, what am I going to do if I leave this job? How am I going to survive? How am I going to make ends meet if I leave? So now that you've made that leap and you're 4 months in, what is your biggest fear now?
Oh, my biggest fear now is having the bandwidth to really give all of me to the clients that I'm bringing in, especially from the career coaching piece. And what to say it's exploded almost feels like an understatement. And I want to be able that everyone gets the best of me, because they're coming to me because of me, right? They can go to, you know, someone else or take a stab at it on their own. But when they engage with me and they make that investment of their time and money to go through the different steps of the process, I want to be able to service everyone. And I don't want to, and I'm not in a position at this point, but I don't want to hand it off to someone because they're coming to me for that reason. So I think my fear would be the bandwidth, you know, because I'm where I thought I would be come spring, summer, I was in December. And it's really trying to figure out, how do I still maximize my time for people and make sure that they do get the best, and also not have potential burnout, because I know that they say that that can happen when you're an entrepreneur and you're just go, 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 go.
Definitely. So how are you trying to combat that at this time?
I am setting clear expectations with individuals. What I normally do is someone will come to me and we'll have a 30-minute conversation around, how can I help them? What's their story? Where are they? What is it that they potentially need? Because some people think they need everything. They're like, I need my resume, I need a cover letter, I need my LinkedIn, and I need to prepare me for an interview that hasn't even happened yet, and help me figure out what I want to be when I grow up. When the reality is as you start to peel back the layers of that onion through a conversation, they don't necessarily need all those things. So I have that conversation. And what I'm doing is setting the expectation of, if you engage my services, this is what the timeline is going to look like. And then also set that expectation with myself of, it is okay to say, if typically I turn something around and say a 2-week window, it is okay if I set the expectation at the very beginning that it might be 3, because all of a sudden I've had 4 or 5 people come through the door and, you know, engage all at the same time, and staggering that out. So communication is a big piece for me, and setting the expectation with my clients as well as myself.
No, that sounds awesome. It's good to set up those expectations, because if you don't, you can easily get overworked or overburdened by people expecting things right then.
Right. And it is a process, you know, when you go through, whether it's recruiting for a company or the career coaching, like obviously that's where a big piece is right now. It is a process. So when someone comes and says, you know, I need a resume and it's Monday, can I have it by Wednesday? You can, but that's not going to be the resume that I'm comfortable to stand behind. Like, it does take time, and it does take getting to have a, you know, dialogue with the individual, because it's a collaboration. It really truly is. And being able to say, you know what, it you know, in urgent situations, obviously, you know, you make things happen, but it's really to be able to say, this is what it looks like, because it is a process. Anyone can download a template offline or online through Google or even through Word. You can do that. And, you know, you're in a situation where you're doing it on your own, but it's there's way more to it than that.
Okay. Before we really dig deeper into this, what was your biggest fear holding you back from going out on your own in your 9-to-5? Was it just your comfort level, or was it you were scared to do something?
I think my biggest fear was, I mean, obviously being 10 years with a company, you feel that you have a sense of stability. Obviously that was not the case to be, you know, restructured in the middle of the beginning of a pandemic. So I think there was that stability of like, I had a good salary, I had good benefits and pieces like that. And then were the clients going to come, or, you know, what I was going to do, was that going to take off? So I think it was that. I also think that historically and traditionally you're told, you know, once you have a good 9-to-5, like you ride the wave. And I believe that worked for a long time, but I don't believe that that's the world we live in anymore. And I think it's just kind of, it's reprogramming the mindset of the things that we were taught from that perspective.
No, definitely. We do have to have that mind shift. Sometimes people don't realize that they're better as an entrepreneur than they are as a 9-to-5 right. employee.
Absolutely.
So how did you choose to do what you're doing in your business?
Well, I knew that it was going to be around what I've been doing for the last 15 years because I love it. And that was the thing. I would have told you a year ago, I'm super happy in my job. What I realized is I was content because I was loving what I was doing. Maybe not in that platform anymore, not realizing it. But what I did was once I knew, okay, I'm going on my own and I don't know what that's going to look like entirely, I was fortunate enough that I was introduced to an individual who had a program, like they're a business consultant, and they had a program of taking everything that was in my head and helping me to go, it's great that you have 1,000 ideas, but let's whittle it down and figure out how it's going to best serve you to move it forward. And I worked with them through a 10-week program in April and May and started doing some things behind the scenes so that when September came, I was going to be ready to go and really work through honing down to what my niche was and knowing that, you know, the career coaching piece, could I do that entirely on its own? 100%. But I want to be able to take the people that I do that with and then make introductions to other organizations who are going to need that talent. So that's how we came with the two pillars on it. No, plus a whole bunch of stuff tucked away that I want to do as well.
No, it's good. It's good to focus in the beginning and then branch out as you have
absolutely
that solid foundation. We learned that a couple episodes ago from Dave Reynolds. Have that right. solid foundation before you go up.
And I love Dave Reynolds. I'm a huge fan of his.
Yeah. Yeah, he's pretty good at what he does.
Yeah.
So how can our listeners narrow down on what profession they would best be suited for, whether it be an entrepreneur or an employee?
I think, quite honestly, it's important that you talk to someone outside of your immediate circle. Right? Like, I think that you already know what is inside of you and the route you want to go. It's again, other people's expectations or what historically we've been taught. And I think the best advice that I've received when I went through the program that I did was, you know, engage someone that is objective and someone that can help you see what that path should be through, you know, through some coaching or through a series of questions, or even, you know, I've had individuals that, you know, that 30-minute complimentary call that I do with them gives them that clarity to make a decision of I'm going corporate and, but in a different industry, or, you know what, now is the time. So my best advice would be talk to someone who's not a spouse, not a parent, maybe a best friend. Like, I'm sure that they can be a bit more objective, but really someone who's going to see it from a higher level and help to point you in a direction so that you can figure out what those potential next steps are.
No, that's great advice. Do you often have people who come in who are, say, one profession, like a paralegal, that now all of a sudden want to be like a fashionista? What kind of advice would you say for those type of people who really want to do the whole 180 turn?
Yeah, the whole shift. I have a lot of it. And what I would say to that is I don't think I would have had a lot of it 2 years ago. A couple of reasons. One, this pandemic has, you know, obviously unexpected job loss. Being stuck at home, which essentially we were, gave people a lot of time to think about, is this really what I want to be doing? Or, you know, again, we've never seen anything like this. So how do we then, you know, what are we going to navigate like over the next 10, 20, 30 years of our career, or what that looked like? So what I have said to the individuals that I've spoken with, and I've actually had quite a few, which is exciting, is, you know, to make that shift, you definitely need a plan, and you need to look at what skills do you already have and how will they lend to the industry or the direction that you want to go, because we all have certain strengths that we have innately. And then we all have strengths of things that we've learned. So how do we take what you already have and build off of it? And a lot of people initially have that of, okay, I'm a paralegal. Now I want to be a fashionista. So I need to go back to school. Well, wait, maybe you don't. So before you, you know, rip that Band-Aid off and then make that big plan, it's mapping out, what do you need to, what skills and experience do you need to have to be a fashionista? And then what do you already have so that you can start to put that together? Now, if someone came to me as a paralegal and said, I want to be a plastic surgeon, yes, 1,000%, it's going to be school. And there's no real other way around that, for your benefit and everyone else's. But the reality is, you have a lot already in you, and it's not something that we're conditioned to talk about. And it's not something that is overly embraced, but it is the key to figuring out all of those other pieces. And the transitions happen much more effortlessly than people would imagine.
Yeah, they do. They really
right.
do.
You know, right?
I know that.
Yeah.
When I tell people I'm a nurse, people are like, what? That's
right.
The last thing I would expect of you.
and going, why would you take the risk, quote unquote, of leaving something that is guaranteed employment forever and all the other pieces to then go take the risk of being an entrepreneur because of money, which is, you know, really a motivating factor for anyone in a career. I don't think most people wake up and go, I want to work today. You know, I mean, some of us do. I absolutely love it at this stage, so that it's exciting. But you have those conversations with yourself. And then when you, again, like, you know, when you come to the other side of it, it really becomes a no-brainer. And that's not necessarily even for just someone who wants to be an entrepreneur. It's making a change. Like, do you take a step back salary-wise to go to a different industry so that 2 years from now you're happy and loving what you do and you have made that money back and more in terms of a salary? It does happen. You just have to dig a little deep in terms of the belief of yourself.
No, I wholeheartedly believe that. I know a lot of nurses during this whole pandemic are trying to think, do I want to be on the front line end, or maybe I want to go into like physio end or something? There's going to be a lot of shifts with nursing. I know that.
Absolutely. And then you'll find people who are, you know, like, I'll use me as an example, a recruiter and, you know, loving what I do, and then go, you know what, I want to make an impact on the front line. I'm going to go and I'm going to become a police officer. I'm going to become a paramedic. I'm going to be a nurse, because this has opened that up for them. Either they've always wanted to do it, or they are so empathetic towards people that they want to be on that front line. So the shifts are going to come in both directions for sure.
Yeah, no, I completely agree there. But yeah, a lot of people don't realize that they can go into a different area of the same expertise if they decide right. to. But a lot of times our corporate offices will pigeonhole us into that one position. So
right.
you have to be willing to fight for that.
Yeah, absolutely. And fight for yourself, right?
How would you coach somebody through that?
I would spend, you know, like, as a career coach, yes, you're looking at, how do we find you a job? How do we find you the right job? And, you know, making sure everything that you need to do that job and get that successful position. There is coaching in that, but there is a whole other component that feels, I don't want to say life coaching, but it's really instilling confidence and having dialogue around, let's look at this objectively. Let's change the mindset around, I've only ever done this, so I can't do that. Like, why is that true, right? It's just, again, it's how we're conditioned. And our brain is also conditioned to protect us from to stepping inside our comfort zone, because that's where they say, like, the change happens in that area. It's so true, but it sounds cliche when you're saying it. So I work a lot with, like, what are you afraid of? What if nothing went wrong and everything could be the way that you envision, what would that look like? And then where does someone potentially start sabotaging themselves? And I ask really pointed questions. Like, I'm super empathetic and I'm all about making sure you feel confident. At the same time, I'll call you to the mat and say, like, why do you believe that? Right? Like, if I'm going to transition from this career to that career, but I'm not possibly going to make X amount of money, well, why is that ultimately true? And is it? Because if it isn't, and we unpack all of that, and there's lots of light bulb moments and probably tools that you'll transition into other areas of your life. And that also, that implementing that for me in this came from a lot of things that I was doing on my own from a personal development perspective that I can now implement into my business and be, and wear two hats again, in that sense, like, I'm going to coach you through your career, but I'm going to get you confident and believing that you can ultimately have a career you love. You're not just going to grind it out to get your pension or, you know, your Freedom 55 or whatever that looks like and be done with it. So there is a definite career, or sorry, a coaching piece to it outside of the career piece.
And do you ever have to coach the employer to accept the employee in the new role?
Yes. From a recruitment perspective, it's having the, again, having a relationship and being able to have transparent and collaborative dialogue around, this is what you've identified as your need. This is the profile of individual who's going to best suit not only that need, but your organization. And sometimes the, that those two visions don't always mesh. And it's being able to say, like, let's look at this individual on paper. And then let's look at the pieces we've gone through in terms of, you know, interviews and feedback. And really, for me, which is why I loved the recruitment that I was able to do inside corporate versus agency, was you were really a collaborative strategic partner. And you could say, like, look at how we could progress this individual. Think about these strengths. Think about where you can fill in these gaps, and rather than, you know, just hire someone and, you know, and off to the races. So it's coaching them as well, making sure they know the right questions to ask in terms of what's important to them company-wide, but then as well for the position and the individual that comes to the table. And really building that relationship of trust so that they'll lean on me for that input, not just thanks for the resumes and thanks for the candidates and I'll let you know how we make out, because that's not how I want to do it.
Yeah. So now that you're 4 months into your business, what is the biggest myth that you've seen going into your own business? I had somebody say that it was the hours that an entrepreneur works.
The biggest myth for me is that it's hard, right? Like, it's hard work. You're grinding it out. There are long hours, but when you're doing what you love, no matter what it is, you become energized, right? You can pull an all-nighter till midnight and then go to bed and be up at 5 a.m. to get the kids ready or yourself ready or to jump into a new project. So I believe the myth that has been shattered and very quickly in is that it has to be hard and that I'm not going to be successful or you won't be successful until you feel like, holy, this is really, really hard. Can I do it? It actually gets to be easy. It's a mindset thing for sure, but having the plan and knowing, you know, I don't have like 30, 60, 90 days. I mean, there are pieces of that and I have my mission and my values in those areas, but I don't like bury myself down in the weeds of it. I really go, you know, this gets to be easy. Clients are going to want to work with me. I'm going to have clients that I enjoy working with. We're going to have fun doing it. And I'm going to take you from being overwhelmed, full of anxiety, frustrated, not sure what you want to do, to confident and excited, and that you're going to go out there and crush it, whatever path we end up figuring out for you.
No, that's
so it's not hard.
No, it doesn't have to be hard.
Not at all.
But have you found yourself like taking on every client, or have you found yourself starting to find those clients that align with you better?
On the career coaching side, the majority of people have aligned with me because everyone's in the same starting point right now because of COVID, right? Like, everyone is literally in, regardless of your 2 years into your career or 40 years into your career. And there are a lot of people 30 to 40 years that want to make a change and keep working because they're healthy. We're all at the same starting point right now. So the majority of the people have aligned with me in that sense. On the recruitment side, I have not been as busy because I have been focusing on that area, but I have come across a couple positions that I've had an opportunity to work on that didn't align with me because it was more of like, we need to fill a seat. And if you need to fill a seat, I'm not the right person for that role because I believe it's going to cost you more money long term, and it's going to give someone a negative career experience. And I'm trying to avoid that on the opposite pillar, right? To make sure people love what they do. So when it's, I just need to fill a seat or find me someone really quickly at a lower salary than what I really know that that person should be paid. I tap out pretty quickly because it doesn't align with who I am.
And do you find,
and I don't want to put one of my candidates, sorry, I wouldn't want to put one of my candidates into that knowing that I'm then responsible for potentially a really negative experience for them.
Yeah, you don't want to do that. But do you find it easier to be able to do that now that you're your own company than you would in the recruitment for a corporation?
Agency world. So I was in agency world from late 2006 into 2009. It would probably have been more of a challenge to be myself in that regard, in that space, because it's a very numbers driven, you know, and not all agencies, but again, like the goal is to find it and fill it and, you know, keep moving on and building a book of business. Corporate, it wasn't a find and fill. It was, again, a bit of a slower pace, and you really work through what are the needs of the organization. That gave me a lot of leeway, and it allowed really who I am in terms of a professional and even personally to be able to say, you're making a bad hiring decision, and here are the reasons why. This is the right candidate, and here are the reasons why. And to have that voice because again, I was part of the company. So I think I honed those skills really well over the last 10 years to be able to say, this works and this is why you need to trust me, or this isn't going to work and these are the reasons why you need to trust me. And I've just carried that piece over. Like, that piece comes naturally to say something's not right here and I'm going to speak up on it, which probably can be a fault in some ways. But in this space, it has allowed me to paint a picture for the person who is either hiring or moving into a role, so they know exactly what they're getting and having the foresight to do that.
Awesome. So I forgot to ask you, what is career matching? I found that on your website.
Yeah. So career matching for me is more on the recruitment side, and that I'm not just going to fill a seat, right? Like, I'm going to say to you, you know, Melissa, if you're hiring whatever position, help me understand the position, what they're doing, help me understand you know, your team, what that looks like. And then ideally, what does the individual that I'm going to go out and find bring to the table, and look at all of those pieces and then start putting the puzzle together. And I use matchmaking, and it's a funny term in a way because you think of dating, but it's the same thing as everyone has a list of their criteria, right? And they're not, you check that list. And I want to make sure that when I bring a candidate or a candidate pool to the table, that it's going to line up for both sides. I have told people for years that I know you're interviewing for this position and I know you really want it, and that's great, but you are interviewing our company as well. And if at any point you don't feel comfortable, we need to have a conversation to work through that, because I don't want never wanted people to feel like they couldn't ask questions, and that one question you didn't feel you could ask of me or the hiring manager determined how 6 months you were like, this, I should have taken that position or I shouldn't have taken this position. So I'm very much about, you're both going to match. It's going to work for both of you, not just you need a job and they need a person and we'll hope for the best. Like, I really don't, that doesn't bring any value to anybody.
No, I like that. And it costs a company a lot to hire somebody on, because you have to do all of that training. So I love that you have it in the matchmaking sense, that you know that the money they're going to invest into that employee is going to come back to them tenfold.
And to further that point, it's really a lot of companies, especially in the small to medium sized space right now, will say, I don't have the money to have a recruiter hire for me because it's going to cost X amount of dollars. One, yes, it is. Two, I do it differently in terms of a cost effective model. But either way, there's still an investment for me to bring talent to your organization. But I can show you the return on that investment as well as the cost savings to that because of the fact, like you said, when it's the right person, the training goes better, the learning curve is better, they integrate differently into the organization. They might stay with you long-term versus let's just hope for the best and then they're gone in 6 months and you've started all over again because it's benefits, it's salary, it's the time of the individuals inside the organization who do the training and do the onboarding and all those other pieces, or the role's been vacant for a really long time. So you're already bleeding money because you need to fill that position because it is extremely expensive to onboard an employee, not just hire them, but onboard them and need to retain them, right?
Yeah, no, it's definitely a huge cost that I've seen many, many times.
Right. Yeah.
I hated the rotating nurses because then you're like, well, are they actually going to be able to help me? Or
anyway. Right. Yeah, absolutely.
So what does having the right career do for a person in your experience?
It overflows into every other area, right? Like if you do not like what you're doing, you can't just compartmentalize it during the time you're at work. It's going to feed over into your relationships, your home life, all of those other pieces. You're going to feel, you know, it's going to start to eat away at you emotionally as well. I've seen it. Like I actually lived it. I mean, it was more than 20 years ago, but I worked for a contact center here in Halifax. And it was like, you know what? It's a great job. It's a great salary. There's opportunity, but I didn't love it. And it got to a point that going to work, you started to, you know, oh, I got to go to work in a couple of hours, or you don't feel good, or, you know, it can make people physically ill. Like that's an actual real thing. And I remember after that point of, I did not like going to work at all, that I was like, I will never do a job again that I don't enjoy. I love what I'm doing now way more in comparison to what I was, but I was still happy, you know, a year ago doing what I was doing at the time. So I think when you're in the right career and you're doing something where you can thrive and you can develop and stretch yourself and you're making a contribution and you're part of a company that you're proud of, like that's also really important. It changes all the other areas. You know, it's the same analogy of, you know, when you exercise, you start to feel better because of the endorphins and it improves your relationships. And, you know, you're more patient as a parent, or you can be more active with your children or different things like that. It's the same thing on a career side of things. The energy that comes from that and just the level of satisfaction makes a huge difference. And it won't just be inside the shift that you work. It will be in all the other areas of your life.
No, so true. So what advice can you give somebody who's like not happy with their work? They're seeing everything. Try and figure out if they should leave their job or if they should stay and try and work through it. What advice can you give for that?
To call me. But it is to really be honest with yourself and know that If you go to a partner or a spouse or a parent and say, I'm thinking that I'm not happy in my job, their automatic reaction is going to be like, well, you're lucky you have a job during COVID, or you make a great salary, or you've been there for so long, or all of those other things. And that's not really about you being unhappy in your job. That's about them feeling like, am I going to have to support them? What if they don't, you know, what if they're not successful and all of those other pieces? So for me, it's be honest with yourself. Do your best not to listen to outside voices, but at the same time, know when to engage an objective outside voice, to have a conversation, to see what possibilities are there. And I'll use an example of, I have a lady who is mid 50s and she has been an HR professional for 35 years. And she came to me and said, my resume is all HR. I have looked after my parents. I've gone through a divorce. I'm 55. Now is my time. And I don't want to stay in HR. But when I talk to my parents, they're like, you know, you're close to the end, you know, of when being able to retire and just kind of ride it out. And through our dialogue and conversations, we've completely pivoted. And she's going to take all the skills she's learned from her HR career, which is like empathy and working with people and being able to navigate really tricky situations, to she's going to transition into supporting families as they move their loved ones into long-term care facilities. And how can she help them? Because that is, again, a very overwhelming process and needing to have individuals there that can provide that bridge. And so to tie that all together is listen to yourself. The answer is already inside of you. And I know that sounds for some people kind of cheesy, but it's so true. And once you have a conversation with someone who is objective and not impacted by your decision, then it gives it a little clearer. Now, obviously, I'm not saying quit your job tomorrow and hope for the best, because that's not it. You need a plan, but you need to make a plan with someone who can make a plan that's going to work and not a plan that's going to, you know, like, I'll help you and I'll support you, but I'm afraid of what the outcome might be. It really needs to be somebody objective.
No, I love that. You do need a plan. That is the biggest mistake a lot of people have. And I see a lot of people have a second job to try and create that happiness and hoping to make that second job their main job because they're too scared.
The side hustle.
Would you suggest somebody having a side hustle to try and turn that side hustle into their main job? Or would you suggest them try and figure out how to make that side hustle their main job without having two jobs at the same time?
It's a great question. And being someone who had a side hustle twice, I would say the side hustle is the indication that you're not doing what you love. So it goes back to needing a plan. Because you really truly cannot give everything to the side hustle to see, is it worth that step? And it's a scary step. So while it has been an amazing experience for me, I know there will be lulls and there'll be different times, but the confidence that comes from taking that step and things starting to line up for you helps you to propel through the things that aren't always comfortable. So I always say, and there was a saying that someone had sent to me is, leap, take the first step and the universe will follow. And I feel that when you are splitting your focus between work and home and then a side hustle, well, you know, the side hustle probably can be beneficial to all the other areas. You really can't give it 110% because unless you're going to work till five, you know, come home, do what needs to be done at home. And then from 7 to 1 in the morning, go hard, right? And not, you can say you're going to do that, but we also kind of go, okay, well, I'll come back to that because, right, they're paying my salary over here. My family needs me in whatever capacity over here. So I think, again, I've had a side hustle and I loved it, but I couldn't give it what I needed to ever know where it would have gone, right? It just, there's not enough hours in the day and you don't have all of that and you can't show up and be your best.
No, I completely agree. It's very, very hard to give the focus that side hustle would need to actually explode into the full right position.
Absolutely.
It's gonna come a time where you're either gonna lose your job because you're not focusing on your day job.
Right.
You're gonna have to right. leave that job so that you can excel at the other one.
And I would say if you have a side hustle right now and you want to make it your full-time piece, make a plan. Right. And have the conversations around what does that plan look like? Again, someone objective, right? Because I know that if 3 years ago I had gone to my husband and said, okay, this is my side hustle and I've got my great job over here that's paying me really solid money, especially for living in Nova Scotia, right? Because there are differences in terms of salaries. I want to be able to rip the band-aid off. And he would have been like, are you insane? Because there was nothing to show that that was going to gain any traction because I hadn't put the focus into it. But by going to someone else and saying, hey, Jen, or hey, whoever, as an objective party, how can I make this my full-time gig in the next 6 months? Well, then we put together a plan, right? Or you go, these are the directions that you need to go in. Having someone else outside your family also gives you a different level of accountability to make sure that it happens. And I believe in that wholeheartedly.
No, I do. And definitely call Jen.
Definitely call Jen.
She does.
Thank you.
So who motivates you to keep going every day?
Who motivates me to keep going every day? My family. So my kids, my husband, my sister, and my nephew for sure. I just, you know, every day I want them to be proud and I want them to be excited in terms of, you know, like I'm crushing it and I'm doing what I'm doing. And I'm setting an example of, I didn't follow the traditional path, right? But I can be successful. And so they motivate me every day. My clients also motivate me because I want them to be like, I want to be as happy as what Jen is by the time I'm done this process with her, right? So I want to come and show up. I have a lot of energy. I'm like, oh, we can do this and this is going to be great. And that can be overwhelming for some, but for to show them the light at the end of that tunnel and they see that, I want to give that to as many people as humanly possible, because I think it's important. And I think, you know, on a more emotional level, I'm really motivated to build off the legacy that my mom left. Again, didn't follow a traditional path and was really, really successful in the space that she was in, and really just take that to the next level in her honor. Like those are the three buckets that I would say I would fall in for what and who motivates me.
Oh, beautiful. There's nothing like that customer satisfaction to just light up your process.
You know, I do a lot on Zoom. So when the first time I meet someone, it's in a form where we're looking at each other through a screen and I'm up here and I'm like, okay, like how, tell me about you. And I want to know all these things and I'm going to ask you some questions and there might be tough ones and go through all that. And people are sitting, and when you're deflated, you're kind of like, here I am on Zoom, but I'm going to put my best foot forward as best I can, but you can see it. And to have that at like the beginning and then get to the end of the 30 minutes and they're like, you know what, Jen, I can do this. And I want you to help me because I now believe that I have what I need, or I can bring this to the surface. That for me, like I get off those calls and it's like I'm on a sugar high. Like I'm just so up there, because that's all you need is just someone who's going to like help you reframe some of that.
No, I love it. So going back to your side gig for a second,
Do
you feel more supported now by your family than you did when you had your side gig?
Yes, 100%, right? Because I'm working from home, so I have my home office, so they see it every day. Like there's times where I'm in my office till midnight, not because of any other reason other than I know that I have something I need to do or I'm working on a different area of the business or what have you. So they see that. They don't see a split of focus aside from my family life and then my business. But I can also turn around, and as much as we say that money shouldn't matter, or as much as we say it's not about, you know, how much money you make, when you are an entrepreneur, you need to be able to come to the table to say, I am able to support myself, right? So those numbers further validate that I'm on the right path. And I do remember when I called my husband that when I found out I had lost my job, my son was homesick, and I called him. I'm like, I just lost my job. And he's like, what? And I was like, he's like, are you sure? I'm like, no, I'm really sure. And he's like, I'm on the way home. I'm like, no, I'll be okay. And he did, he came home and he was home about like 45 minutes after we had our conversation. And I was like, I'm going to be fine. Like I'll figure out a plan. And then a couple of days later I said, I'm not working for someone else again. I don't know in its entirety what that all looks like, but I know I'm really good at what I do and I know I can bring a lot of value, but you need to know now I'm not working for someone else again. And you need to be okay with that, because I didn't know what it was going to look like when it started, right? Like I didn't know if, you know, my severance package was going to get me as far as I needed it to. So that is scary for the other people around you, right? Because they want to champion you and support you. At the same time, they're like, okay, but wait a minute. We've had these two solid incomes for a really long time. What if it doesn't work? And you have to block that noise out, but it's really important to be able to just be on. It's such a communication piece, right? Yeah. From that, but they definitely would see a difference because I'm all in, like, right? I'm either mom and wife or I'm all in on my business, and they're seeing it grow and they're just like, oh my God, like this is great. Like this is exactly what you're meant to be doing.
Yeah. And it's nice when they finally come around to do the support, because you do feel more confident in what you're doing. And then you don't have to listen to the noise of why are you doing that? Why are you taking time away from us?
Right. Yeah, absolutely. And what I would say to that is, and it's not easy for everybody, and at certain points, no, it wasn't easy for me, but you need to block out the noise of your parents, your spouse, your, you know, if you have adult children or, you know, or anyone, because they're coming from a place of concern, but they're also coming from a place of like, this is unknown. And we're automatically programmed to not do the unknown because our brain doesn't know what it is, right? So it's really, you do have to block out the noise, because if I had not had that conversation of, I'm not working for someone else again, I'm going to do this, I could have picked up a, I had two job offers within the first week of, you know, finishing with my company, that if I had listened to, if I hadn't kind of drawn that line in the sand, I would have felt obligated because I have a family, I have a mortgage, all of those things. And I would not be here today, 4 months in, happier than I've ever been in a career setting, and would be comfortable if I had to work 6 hours tonight on a Saturday. Like, I'd be okay with that. So I'd say people that have the best intentions for you, but you know your intentions better. And if you aren't sure, it is in there, and try to block out that noise a little bit, because it's a game changer. It really, truly is. And I'm sure you feel that way too, having transitioned from, again, a very stable, secure industry, we'll say, to something that is 5 years ago really wasn't a career, right? Like, you didn't have that option.
No, not at all.
Yeah. And now it's going to be a career forever.
Yeah. If you had asked me a couple of years ago if I would be doing social media or coaching women to go into the jobs they want, I would have said, nah, you're absolutely crazy. Like, there's no way I'd do that.
And you probably had people who said, you can't leave a career as a nurse to do social media. Like, and there's going to be connotations around different things of, like, it's not a viable career choice. And I debunk that as often as possible, because if you think about it, and I'll use the example of real estate, like, people that are really successful in real estate, 10 years ago or 20 years ago, it was like, I'm a stay-at-home mom and I do real estate on the side, or I dabble in this. But, like, literally, there are men and women in Atlantic Canada that make $250,000 a year doing real estate and have made it more than a part-time side thing. I just feel that it doesn't fall in those traditional buckets of, you know, lawyer, doctor, accountant, dentist, nurse, whatever. There are so many other opportunities now. And if they're the right fit for you, why do you have to follow a path of resistance? Because really, you're still going to end up in the same place, right? And I've positioned it to people of, you know, if you're going to pay $20,000 to go to school for something, and ultimately you're not even going to use that, why not find a way to take that even or half of that and put it into something where you're going to love it, and you're going to, like, 10x whatever you're doing, like, your commitment, your income, all of those things. And, you know, humbly saying, like, I'm living proof that you do that.
Yeah, you can do. Yeah. You can make that leap and be very successful. You will have those people who tell you you're crazy. Ignore them.
Yeah.
If it makes you happy. Yeah. Why yeah. listen to them?
Absolutely. And again, I'm not saying, okay, tomorrow or Monday morning, you go give your resignation and have no idea what's next. 100% not. But you can literally, from today to, you know, 3 months from now, have a solid plan in place and know where you're going, and then an end date in sight, 100%. Or, and it's not just in terms of entrepreneurship, even though I'm a huge fan of it. And if that's where you're called to, then you should be doing it. But even to switch jobs, right? Like, even to leave a company or go into a different industry or any of those things, like, you need to have a plan. You know, and sometimes that is the resume, the cover letter, the LinkedIn, and someone to walk you through an interview and help you negotiate a salary that gets you $10,000 more. And that's okay, but have the plan and don't go about it blindly.
No, very, very, very true. So before I get into the last question, where can listeners find out more about you?
They can find me at www.jenwarrington.com. I am also on LinkedIn. And I have a Facebook group as well that ties in some of, like, content that I'll put out around tips on resumes or interviews, and really looking to build that up in the next quarter from that perspective. JenWarrington.com has tools and resources you can start to use immediately. It allows you to book inside my calendar or to reach out. And it also gives a really good snapshot of who I am. Like, I really wanted that website to reflect who I was, not just as a brand, but as a person, and tie that in. Like, I want you to feel excited when you go there. And I think that that's probably where I would suggest anyone to start.
Yeah, definitely check it out. So lastly, who inspires you?
Who inspires me? So I thought about this because I knew that it's usually a question that comes, and it's not a particular person. Like, I really was like, is there someone in particular? And I have a lot of people that inspire me, but it's the people as a generalization, it's the people that take the risks and believe in themselves and champion others that are trying to do the same thing. So it can be like a collective. You know, I think about watching some of the stuff that Dave Reynolds has does, and I'll use that as an example. Like that's inspiring to me. We both know Angela McCabe. I'm a huge fan of hers as well. And watching people grow and evolve into what they're supposed to do because they took a chance on themselves. Anyone in that category, whether I know about them yet or I'm watching and following their journey, I find that really, really inspiring because it shows that you can do the hard things, but the hard things also aren't necessarily hard. They do get to be easy when you have the plan and you have the right people and surrounding yourself with that type of positivity, right? In that space. And I love that you were a nurse and now you're social media. And like 5 years ago, you probably, like, some people don't even have Facebook accounts. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like that stuff lights me up and I could talk about it forever.
No, and we have to add you to the list of inspiring people who have left their job and are like inspiring others to go after their passions as well.
Yeah, I honestly, like, if nothing else, if a 30-minute conversation just opened someone's eyes slightly and they didn't need anything else from me, then I've been of value and service, I believe. And that's the stuff that is really important to me. So I appreciate the compliment tremendously.
Well, thank you for coming on. It's been a pleasure.
Thank you for having me. I'm so thrilled.
Raise the Anchor, brought to you by Alize Creative Solutions. We hope you found that story very inspiring. We look forward to bringing you more this week. Subscribe to the podcast to stay in the loop. Don't forget to leave a 5-star review to spread the love even further. We hope you have